Again, it is good to be here with you. God's grace to all of you. We'll continue with our theme, the straight and narrow way from a pastor's perspective. And we looked at the question, considered the question of identity this morning. This evening, we'll look at the question of inspiration. And I would like to just read one verse out of Matthew chapter 6 and then proceed. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jesus speaking to his disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Could we just pray this together? I'll start over. Start in the beginning of this prayer. Could you join me? And we'll pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Considering the matter of inspiration, we could go many different directions. We could talk about the amazing miracle of the Bible, written over a period of 1,500 years by 50 different men of all walks of life from three different spread apart over the known world at that time. And we have in front of us the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. We could talk about those times when we're personally motivated and inspired and what it takes to live that way. But I'd like to just narrow things down. By the way, I owe you a short message. Would you agree? And I understand that the young people have something planned afterwards. And some of you sat through a 2.5 hour sermon some time ago. And I'm going to try and make up some of the difference here tonight by cutting it short. I'll do my best. But I want you to consider not so much the source of inspiration as the focus, maybe, we could say. And as I say that, and we look at this pyramid that I drew this morning, in my mind it's not complete. And I wonder what you think about that. What would you add to that to make it complete? Anybody? I think I gave you a good clue. And remember, I didn't promise you a short message. I said I owe you one. I'm willing to go home with that debt if it takes a long time to convince you of this simple point I want to make. So as I speak, you can raise your hand and say I'm convinced. And once the evidence is there that you get it, we can move on. What is there that needs to be added to this? And we could, yes, we could put it in different words, but I'm going to just do this. Jesus said some amazing things one of them being, I do always those things that please my Father. And he came specifically, or one of the specific reasons that he came, was to enable us to worship God, to worship his Father, to connect ourselves with something bigger than ourselves. And I want to just give you some numbers here. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom is referred to 150 times in the New Testament. In comparison, the gospel, the good news of the gospel, which they're one and the same, they overlap. But the good news, or the gospel, is referred to 99 times. Being born again is referred to 3 times. And we open our Bibles, we start reading through the New Testament, through the gospel accounts, and we find that the kingdom of God is front and center. And we find that Jesus is presented as a savior to, first of all, usher in the kingdom, and then to open up the way for us to be a part of that kingdom. Isn't that right? And so I think this is accurate, don't you? I don't think we should look at Jesus Christ as the end of it all. Jesus came with a purpose. He came with a message. Pilate asked him one day, "So are you a king?" And he confirmed that. He's a king of a kingdom. Yes, he's the head of the church. Yes, he is everything. Yes, the focus should be on him. But the point I'm trying to make is, what if I would come to you one day and ask if you knew Brother Mark Villeneuve? And you would say, "Oh yes, I know that brother." And I would ask you, "Well, what does Brother Mark do for a living?" You would say, "Oh yeah, I don't know." "Well, what church is Brother Mark a part of?" "I really don't know." And I would ask you a list of questions. I would keep asking you questions about this individual. What does he like to do? What does he talk about? I don't know. At some point, I would ask you the question, "Well, do you know him or don't you?" Wouldn't that be reasonable? Do you know him or don't you? And I want to just tell you this evening, that as I read the New Testament, as I read the gospel accounts, and as I read the epistles, I cannot separate Jesus Christ from his kingdom and still come up with a Jesus that is relevant and that answers the needs of my heart. And we've been programmed. Many of us have been programmed to believe. Maybe those of us that came out of traditional backgrounds more than others have been programmed to believe that our personal salvation is the chief end of it all. When we think of the good news of the gospel, we think of the fact that Jesus paid for my sins and I get to go to heaven. I can escape hell and go to heaven. And as glorious as that is, as amazing as that is, there's more to the good news than that. There's more to the good news than that. The good news is that you get to be a part, as I said this morning, a part of his family, a friend of Jesus. You get to know him personally. You get to come to a place where you love the things that he loves and where you hate the things that he hates. You get to align yourself with his purposes, with his ambitions, with his goals. You get to submit yourself under His laws, under His directives, His imperatives. We get to do that as Christians. And it is in that context that we begin to understand what it means to worship our Creator, to worship Him. We have in the United States a branch of the armed forces that we call the Marines. I don't know what you have here in Canada. That might be the equivalent of that. But when we think of the men who defend our country, they are the elite. If you drive through countryside on our side of the border, you might see a billboard with four or five men pictured on that billboard. They're pictured there with their backs ramrod straight. Their shoulders are squared. Their faces are set like a flint. And the caption underneath or above that says they believe in something bigger than themselves. And I want to tell you tonight that unless you have that, you can't get inspired about the Christian life. You can get happy and thankful that you're saved, but that's only the beginning. That's the door. Didn't Jesus say, "I am the door"? He didn't say, "I'm the chief end of it all." He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enters." Enters into what? Enters into the kingdom of God. Enters into an understanding, a comprehension of something that is bigger than ourselves, that we can unite ourselves with and find meaning and purpose in life. And I have a serious issue with some of the language, some of the terminology just being thrown around. And I'll give you one example. Those of us had come out of a culture, out of a religious culture, where we were taught that you can't know that we're saved. We like to talk about assurance. One of the biggest issues for us is that you know who Jesus is. That you know that He died for your sins. And there's a phrase in 1 John that says, "By this we know that we know Him." If we... Someone finish it. If we obey His commandments. By this we know that we know Him. Is that right? If we obey His commandments. You're confident of that? Nobody needs to look it up? Okay. How many of you have heard someone say, you know, this in the context of speaking of our assurance, they pull that out and they say, "I know that I know that I know." Have you heard that? And we get goosebumps and we feel all spiritual when we say that. But that leaves us in a subjective. It still leaves us looking inward and in a subjective mode that can go awry at any time. What Jesus is saying very plainly is this: by this I know that I know Him. By this we know that we know Him. Not just by this I know that I know that I know that I know. And we get more spiritual every time we repeat "I know." That just doesn't cut it. Somebody say amen. It's just not that way. The Bible is objective. The gospel is objective. The gospel tells us, by this We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. They believe in something bigger than themselves. Maybe the billboard reads this way: believe in something. It's a recruitment tool. Believe in something bigger than yourself. The Marines are lifted up as the few, the proud. Maybe the real Christians that honestly believe in all of what Jesus stands for are the few and the humble. The two best known statements, Jesus' sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord's Prayer, begin and end with reference to the kingdom. We look at Jesus' parables, and I may mention just a few of them. John started his ministry preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus started his ministry. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Luke, in writing the Acts of the Apostles, "This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." That was Jesus' message. That was his ministry. Acts chapter 8, we find the apostles taking up the theme. "When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Acts 19, they went boldly into the synagogue, spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. You see, they did not come with a message that was as narrow as you need to just get on your knees and ask Jesus into your heart and you're saved. And don't let anybody ever question it. Don't ever doubt it. That's not the Bible message. It's not. Acts chapter 20, Paul's departure from Ephesus. "Now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Acts 28, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Listen, my friends, how do you go about trying to persuade someone about Jesus? How do you go about it? Do you nudge at their heartstrings? Do you stir their emotions? Do you scare them with visions of hell? It could be all of the above. But I'm telling you, it all has to come into the context of preaching and persuading the things concerning the kingdom. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I believe the lack of that is why you see so many Christians walking around with a dazed look, wondering what it's all about. It's why you see so many young people lose their way. It's because the gospel that they have heard isn't delivering. It's because when they see what the world has to offer, in contrast to this fuzzy light, I call it silly putty theology, a lack of substance, a Jesus that we don't know, except in some vague sense we know that he died on a cross and paid for our sins. This Jesus was everything that the Bible says of him. We believe the record that God gave of him. That is why John opened his preaching in the way that he did. It's why Jesus opened his teaching ministry the way that he did. It's why the apostles taught and persuaded the things concerning the kingdom. It's because it all points to Jesus. It illuminates Jesus. I was speaking to a young man last week. He's just starting to open himself up spiritually. And he was telling me how that he's open to different religions, but he says he's very spiritual. He connects with the Spirit. And I ask him what he thinks of Jesus. He said, well, he believes he was a good man. And I told him what I appreciate about the Spirit of God, about the Spirit, is that he shines the light on the person of Jesus Christ. It's like we're going down the road and it's dark and we see a sign along the road and there's a light shining right on the sign, illuminating the message on the sign. The Spirit does that with Jesus. It gives substance. It gives purpose. It brings us from a place where we say, yes, I know Brother Mark. He has a gray beard and wears tan breeches. To a place where, you know, Brother Mark said, and Brother Mark preached, and I was with Brother Mark, and he asked me how it's going with the death of my son. And we could weep together. And our hearts connected, you know, over the fact that there's a reality out there. All things work together for good. That's what Brother Mark told me. So now you get a glimpse on who this man is. And it's that way with Jesus. He's not just an idea, not just an abstraction, not just some vague individual from Judea that died on a cross. He is God, infinitely holy and righteous, driven with desire, driven with purpose. His back ramrod straight, his face set with a purpose in mind that his Father in heaven is obeyed and glorified and worshiped, and that ultimately from every tribe and nation people will come and gather around his Father's throne and will worship him together. Are you convinced? Is there anybody here yet that only knows Jesus for what you can get? And you're wondering what it's all about. You're wondering why you're not driven with purpose and motivation. You wake up in the morning and you wonder what this day is all about. Identity. Inspiration. I think we'll wrap it up. Maybe, where are you, Henry? You still here? There he is. Tell me something about yourself. What do you like to do? Blessed woman. Where is she? She should stand up. You should introduce her. Tell us something about your parents. I wish they were saved. Tell me one thing that you appreciate about the church at Niagara. The brotherhood. Amen. Amen. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. And what do you think of the kingdom of God? And that's all right. It's not all right that you stay that way. Brother Mark, would you come up and pray?
May that inspiration multiply in each and every one of us. That our Christianity would be something that the world would look at and desire as they see the purpose of our life. As they see your power transforming us. Give us a vision, Lord. Give us your vision. That as life unfolds for each and every one of us, our love for Jesus, the King of that kingdom, will just increase. And that the light that we will shine in this world will make a difference. Thank you, Father, for the words of inspiration. And may each and every one of us here tonight take them to heart and let them grow in each of our heart, that we would have the same urge that Jesus had to please the Father. In whatever we do, in word or deed, we do all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.